Welcome back at WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It is Preakness week around here, which means I get to visit with friends that I would call old friends, but that would probably be an insult to them or to myself. I'm not sure. Long-time friends, lifelong friends, going back into the 1980s with this dude. He was a member and a part of my 30-30 baseball tour in Cincinnati, as Earl Weaver once said. He makes his home in Kentucky. He once wrote for the Baltimore Sun. He has made a whole life with Jay Pridman and a whole bunch of other folks down at the Daily Racing Forum, from Lexington to Louisville and sometimes in Baltimore for a crab cake with my friends at Costas. My dear friend Marty McGee joins us here. Nothing at all going on in this industry this week at all, right? I mean, you're just hanging out, wearing your purple because you're a Ravens fan, right, Marty?
That's right. You know, you said I once wrote for the Baltimore Sun. Actually, I wrote for them a lot. It was like 6.5 years. But anyway, I digress.
It was 30 years ago.
Yeah. It was from 85 to early 92 when they said, let's consolidate the staffs of the Evening Sun, for whom you worked. And I worked for the Morning Sun. And they said, anybody that wants to quit, we'll give you a year's salary.
And Marty and I were both really young then. We're like, year's salary, here we are. You know, I was 23. So yeah. I left on January 15th, 1992. When did you leave?
January of 92. And then I kicked around Maryland a little bit more. And finally, the Daily Racing Forum hired me in May of 92. And that's when my first gig was actually in New Jersey at Monmouth Park.
I lived like a gypsy. 30 years.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's been damn near 30 years. I was talking to Wayne Lucas today out of Pimlico. This is 41 years ago since he ran Codex. I remember that like it was yesterday. So, well, man, time flies. I tell you, my girls are grown up, out of college, out of the house. You know, it's life goes on, buddy.
Really, dude, when I remember sitting there with you up on the roof talking about spend a buck and, like, you know what I mean? Like, all of this going all these years back. This one's a strange one, dude. I've been here for all of it, right? We've punched a horse. We've had the lights go out and you can't bet the races. We've had storms come in. We've had the running of the urinals. We've even had Bruno Mars. We've had it all, right? But
what about Kegasus? You remember Kegasus?
One of my favorites was get your preak on. Get your preak on was my favorite one. I got my preak on. I made a joke with Mickey Coachella earlier, Marty. I said 1989, and you'll appreciate this because you knew me then, right? I was probably drunker than a skunk up in the press box next to you. You had your suit on, your binoculars and all that, betting on Sunday Silence, Ali Sheba. I said that particular year, the Sunday Silence was my hangover the next day, you know, but that was 89, 90, you know, in that era. The modern era, I know nothing about betamethasone. I mean, I've been talking to people all week. People as astute as yourself, people like Dick Girardi and, you know, people that know racing. Explain it for my audience a little bit, because I want to hear what you say about it, because we haven't talked about it at all.
Well, on Saturday night, it would have been May the 8th, Bob Baffert got a call from his assistant, Jimmy Barnes. Bob was still in California. The Derby winner, or the first place finisher, I should now say, Medina Spirit, came up positive for betamethasone, which is a metabolite of, as we ended up finding out after great lengths and a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth, that it was an ointment in a skin rash type of thing. And that's where they strongly believe that this medication, this slight positive, this picograms, which are not billionths, but trillionths of grams in a milliliter of blood, blah, 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 all that stuff. Having said that, it's against the rules, and there's a reason there is a rule for it. And the body of evidence against Bob Baffert in terms of how many of these positives he's had from pushing the envelope, it really came and bit him on the behind this time, Nestor, because it looks very much like we're going to have a disqualification of the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit.
All right, so what does this mean? In the big picture, I'm the $2 gambler, as you well know, betting on the silks and betting on the colors and betting on the name. And, you know, I'll come back to the track next year. But for people, I've seen you go up to a window and bet. I've seen when you're serious about a horse, I've watched you pull money out. And the confidence that you have to have that, A, you know what you're doing to make a wager that I've seen you make and others, professionals and people to do what they do make, and the level of integrity that's necessary here. You know, I've taken this to the nth degree, right? I've gone down the Bill Cosby thing this week, the Lance Armstrong thing, that you look innocent. You look like a nice enough guy. I like you, Bob. You like Bob. I like Bob. Everybody that's been on the show this week, everybody like Bill Cosby too, right? So, but we, you know, you're innocent because you're famous and we like you. And then there's, if you're Bill Belichick and you're a prick, the first time you got monkeys and trees videotaping, we want to like take away your card to practice, right? Somewhere in the middle here, Baffert wants to win. They all want to win. I'm sure there are barns where they like each other and don't like each other. What's if you're in the stall next to him and you're Marty McGee, trainer who's just trying to get by and make a living, how do you perceive all of this in the industry for what betamethasone, something I'd never heard of till 3 days ago? I'm sure you've been racing 30 years. I mean, I know about LASIK. You and Vinny Perrone and Clem Fleurier were trying to teach me about what the little L and the star meant. And it helped. Clem would say, it helps with the breathing. It helps with the breathing, kid. So it's pretty good, right? That wasn't bad. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You baby dog.
Hey, Clemmy, you got hit in the head too many times.
Yeah,
you know, my brother has trained for 37 years. He's never had a positive test. Bob Baffert had something like 30. And
Say that again.
What does it mean if it's Marty McGee next to it? My brother literally is like the next barn over at Churchill Downs.
And he's never?
No, literally. Neither is Christophe Clement, neither a bunch of guys. I've been reading all these names, guys who've never had a positive. So, like I said, pushes the envelope, and then it comes beyond the limits. In this particular case, there is no threshold limits. It's anything above zero is a positive. And the theory behind the rule, and now Bob and other people are starting to question the rule in place that
that's what you do when you get caught.
A disqualification, right? That's exactly what you do. And
you go on Fox News and call cancel. Call you like I'm like right. Bob. What are you doing, dude? Just take your punishment, go home, or make a legitimate case. But I don't.
One of the reasons for this particular medicine and so many more being on the rule book as being illegal is because it is theorized, or I guess it has been shown, that something like this substance can in fact cover up PEDs. And therein lies the rub. You know, you say, well, there's only 21 picograms, 21 trillionths of a gram in a microliter of blood serum that shows up. Well, maybe it is masking a PED. I'm not scientific enough to know all this. I got in this game.
Well, neither was I with baseball.
Drink beer, right? And bet on horses, you know, what happens on the track, not what happens in a laboratory.
I'm in locker rooms with baseball players trying to report on this. And Mark McGwire looked like a nice enough guy. And Sammy seemed like a nice fella. And they all did until their foreheads all grew. They all got millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars that they've never given back. They, you know, whether they got caught this or that, the horse racing game. I mean, you and I are old farts. We remember the East German women growing beards, right? Like all of these years later, right?
And hair under their arms. You know what? The bottom line on this, we are all tainted. We're all painted with this nasty broad brush that people go blow out here watching, you know, who doesn't watch horse racing much. He sees drugs and horse racing. Oh, well, you know, same old stuff. I remember Charlie Hedry, a trainer, a gentleman farmer trainer, that horse, Private Terms. He had Private Terms, the favorite in the Derby in 1988. He got a cocaine positive as if he was going to, you know, it's just, when people, I remember writing about it in the Baltimore Sun, and that's all people really see are drugs and horse racing. Or, you know, I go to these off-track betting spots, and guys were thinking it's fixed. Oh yeah, same old story. We, you know, here's the solution, if there is one. Is in last December, legislation was passed and signed by the then president that mandates the Horse Racing Safety and Integrity Act, and in July of next year, the federal government is going to overtake the oversight of horse racing. And we hope that will begin to start some of these problems that just crop up far too often. And again, taints all of us in this game. And what really is a great game in my mind, it's the greatest game ever invented, horse racing. But But no, right now people think it's the worst.
Marty McGee is here, Daily Racing Form. He's been my friend forever. Please follow him out at Daily Racing Form and everywhere racing is. For what do you love about racing? What, you know, you said it's the greatest. You spoke to me with that natural baseball. I love this. You know, what still makes it great for you in 2021? Especially, well, we've all had a lot to consider the last 15 months too.
It's what I tell my girlfriend. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, and it was exciting, and it was beautiful, and it there's so many positive things about it. And then you get this kind of stuff, and you're like, it's not that much fun anymore. So, I mean, I feel like I got into it when I was at the University of Kentucky. I knew I wanted to be a horse racing rider when I was about 13. So it's been an honor and a privilege to have relationships with guys like Dwayne Lucas and Bob Baffert and so many other great horsemen. But when something like this happens, you would kind of want to go,
Well, you know, I talked to Randy Moss about this earlier. I'm like, Randy, you're a journalist at heart. We all like these people and we all like horse racing and where we are and all of this, but trying to cover it from the inside, the how the sausage is made, as they would say, right? Like, this is a very difficult thing because it is a little incestuous. Everybody is in it together and one guy on the team messes it up for everybody. And this particular guy is the face of the whole place, and everyone has said this. He knows better. He knows better. He knows the rules and he knows what's at stake here. That makes it more disturbing, I think, at a lot of levels, right?
Absolutely. And the 48 hours that transpired from the Sunday morning revelation that the horse had indeed tested positive until the Tuesday morning announcement that, oh, wait a minute. No, all these other things we said, forget about that. It was an ointment that we forgot about that was being applied to the horse every day for dermatitis. Okay. Now, see, that's really where it gets shady. And, you know, either Bob wasn't paying enough attention or it had not been brought to his attention or something. But
it's a Derby horse. How can it not be to Bob's attention? Was he got a mutter at Santa Anita running next month? I mean, what's happening, right?
I don't know. You know, it's just so dismaying on so many levels. And there, you cannot imagine a more visible or kind of high profile situation, race and person involved than the Kentucky Derby and Bob Baffert and him winning it with a 12-1 shot, by the way, which has caused a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a 12-1 shot that probably would have been 25-1 had it not had Baffert next to it as far as the horse itself, right? And then Velasquez says, I've never seen this horse run this way. Like, all of these pieces, if you're just a private eye and not a Baffert fan or a horse racing fan, you look at it and you're like, this is the Lance Armstrong story, you know? I mean, I told the story this week, and I know you appreciate this. Tom Boswell from the Washington Post retired this week. You know, he's been writing as long as I've been alive, 52 years, the greatest baseball writer of my lifetime for sure.
No doubt.
And had Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco and Tony La Russa and all the Oakland A's bashing up, pointing fingers at him, calling him a son of a bitch, calling him a liar, a guy that had 30 years of integrity then, and that's where this thing gets very, very muddy when cheaters are getting called out. Lance Armstrong, he couldn't be guilty. He's got an American patch on it. He dates Sheryl Crow. Sheryl Crow wouldn't be with a cheater if he was juicing. They're drinking protein shakes. I dealt with this with baseball, and there never is a guilt. And there's always – he'll be running a horse next year, right? They're not throwing Bob Baffert out of racing for this, right? So there's a little shame. It goes away in a couple of weeks. He takes a fine. He sort of won the Derby but didn't. And then this becomes something that probably gets ratings and brings people to the sport in some weird way. 75 million people voted for Donald Trump in this country. You can't tell me horse racing can't be revived, man.
You know what? Your tweets and all your Trump bashing. I voted for a Republican every year for president since I was able to in 1980 until this past year. And I voted for
it makes Joe me Biden. Love you even more. How about that?
Joe Biden. I had to go. I was done with that guy. But
I'm
anyway,
big into democracy. I'm big into not having people climb in the Capitol. I don't stick to sports anymore because, like, you know, I sat around here with a mask getting fed lies and being told put bleach in my body last year. So I hear that. But what I'm saying is there's a flavor for everyone on the integrity scale as to, well, it was just a whatever, the trillionth of a microliter of a whatever. He ain't a cheater. And then there's Marty's brother in the barn next saying, I've never done that in my life. Like, what are we talking about here? You know? Right.
Well, you know, this was like his 30th violation, something like that. And somebody on Twitter put, fool me once, shame on, fool me 29 times, shame on you. Fool me 30 times, shame on me. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's like, you know, at what point you say enough is enough? And I think it's come to that. And I think whatever the rules, whatever the guidelines are, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission are going to follow through. It's 100 to 1, or if not higher odds, that this split sample will come back, whenever that is, in a week or two or three, negative. So there's going to be a disqualification of this horse, no doubt.
Marty McGee is here, Daily Racing Forum. You can follow him out in the world. Dude, I think of you now because I talk about Merriweather all the time because I can't go to a concert yet. We're trying to get back. Like you and I and Merriweather and Paul Simon. I have so many memories at Merriweather, not just with you, but I know you think I'm the only one that ever went to Merriweather. But I mean, concerts, life, real life. Give me a little real life for you the last 15 months because it's been weird. I mean, we didn't see each other last year at the Preakness. You're here. I'm here. I'm shot up now so we can get a crab cake at Costas or Fadley's this weekend as I kick off the tour. But give me a little vibe on the racing industry. Baffert was on the show last week, after he won, but before the incident. And he talked to me at length about a lot of things. But one of the things he talked about was the horses really being spooked last week in Louisville because they hadn't seen people. None of these horses have run in front of people in a year if they've run at all. And these young horses have never seen people, right?
Well, as you know, I go to Florida every winter for 3 months, but I only went to Gulfstream Park. I live 2 miles from Gulfstream Park on Hollywood Beach when I'm down there.
God bless Aventura. Let's go.
Yeah. And I'm right there at the end, at the southern end of the Broadwalk, as they call it. And I went 5 times to Gulfstream the entire 3 months because A, I had COVID that I had to get over, and B, I had a pretty serious eye operation. I had some retinal tears in my eye, so that took a long time to get over. But I met a wonderful woman about 8 months ago, and she lives with me now, and my life is good. My life is very good, and I've worked now in the racing industry for 36 years. I have loved it. This kind of thing, really, like I said, we all take it kind of personally that you know, it's tainted to this degree.
Well, you're the one mentioning Boswell. You're the one on the front line that I'm counting on to get to the bottom, you know, to get to whatever the fact is. And if Bob Baffert's is guilty, then we treat him like we treated Lance Armstrong, I think, at this point. I mean, that's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate.
Just on a personal level, I was about 4 feet from him at that press conference on Sunday morning. And I felt for him. He was about ready to cry, I thought. And, you know, so it's quite possible that he's believable in that he was unaware of the things that were going on. But the bottom line, Nestor, is there's the absolute insurer rule. You as the trainer are responsible for anything that happens to your horses, and he's going to have to pay that price.
Wow. Say that again.
Insurer rule.
Absolute insurer. I've never heard that term.
INSURER, insurer. Absolute. You are the absolute insurer, and it's applicable.
You're the guardian. You're responsible, period.
Right. It's the buck stops with the trainer. So, yeah.
You got anything to say about the race itself? I mean, just the field, where we are. You're in Baltimore now. Welcome. I love to get a crowd. I know you're busy, but you made some time for me today. Let's at least talk about who's going to win the race.
I've got Midnight Bourbon picked. I just couldn't. Yeah, I didn't. Whenever a horse wins at 12-1, it's called missing the wedding. And then when he ends up losing at 2-1, you're going to the funeral. So I'm not going to miss that wedding and go to the funeral on Medina Spirit. So I looked elsewhere. Midnight Bourbon for Asmus. And I don't have a real good feel for the race. I think Chad Brown might be a factor with Crowded Trade. And, you know, there's a long shot named Rombauer, who I wouldn't mind seeing. He's trained by a guy named Michael McCarthy, who's a pretty good friend.
Hey, man, did I tell you I made it to Saratoga a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
You did not.
My wife and I were up in New York. My boy D. Rose was involved in this, and we were up seeing Streisand in New York when she played because my wife had never seen Streisand. The next day, Hootie and the Blowfish were playing up at Saratoga, and we're in Manhattan already. We were going to spend the day in New York or whatever, and had a free crash pad at my boy D Rose's ass, and he was in Saratoga. So Hootie the Blowfish is playing. I'm friends with them. I text Mark. My wife hadn't seen the band. We rented a car at the Jersey airport, at the Newark airport, and drove up. I had that delicious fried chicken at Hattie's. No disrespect to my Royal Farms people, we know. But we got up there, and I did four races at Saratoga on a Saturday or Sunday. I don't remember what day. In August, it wasn't Travers, but like it was the end of the day. I parked right at the front door, like in the neighborhood. People were leaving, and I went in, and I saw the incredible like picnicking. I shot a video. I mean, I was blown away by how cool it was. And now I want to go back, not just for the fried chicken, but I did make it to Saratoga. I haven't made it to Del Mar. There's a place. I've been to Gulfstream. I mean, Gulfstream's like Vegas now. It's like its own thing going on down there, right?
Yeah, they kind of transformed it into something that a lot of people don't like. Gulfstream used to be like Monmouth Park that I was referring to early in New Jersey, a beautiful place. But that's, you asked me, what do I like about horse racing? Places like Saratoga, Belmont Park. I love going to Laurel Park myself. Monmouth Park, you out west to Santa Anita and Del Mar.
You love Pimlico. It might be the last time. You better tell me you love Pimlico.
I do love Pimlico in a certain way. I mean, it could use a couple more paints and coats of paint, I think, right now. It's in kind of disrepair. I think they're just getting ready for the bulldozers to move in at some point.
What's the best track I've never heard of? Like, you know, I've been to the track in Cincinnati, just so you know. I went there one day with my son 20 years ago. What's it called? River? No.
It was River Downs. They have also transformed that into a racino. It's now called Belterra Park. Belterra is a casino. But I'm going to throw one out there. How about Fort Erie? You ever been there? You ever heard of that? That is right across from Niagara Falls.
I was going to say, is that a Buffalo track?
It's across the Canadian border.
It's on the Canadian side. Canadian border.
It's about 10 miles from Niagara Falls. I went there in 87, just drove on up there and then went on to Toronto and went to Woodbine. And Fort Erie was quite the charming little place.
All right. Well, there you go. So more racetracks for you. Welcome home away from home, Baltimore. I'm glad you're well. I'm glad you're happy. I'm glad you got through COVID. I'm glad your eye's doing better. I'm doing 30 crab cakes in 30 days here in the state of Maryland in August to mirror the 30 ballpark tour. It's my 30th anniversary this year on radio. So 30 crab cakes in 30 days. You know, if you're back in August, I'll take you somewhere good. The Chesapeake
might
Bay.
I really might be. I come back here on vacation, go to Ocean City for two or three nights. And
I think I knew that about you. When are you in Ocean City? When do you go?
Let's see. I went last July and then come back and my buddy, one of my best friends, Larry Horning, he's a retired trainer, lives down in Harwood, you know, in southern Anne Arundel County. And he's got a boat. We go out on the bay and just I love this place. I love Maryland.
Well, good. It's good to have you home. We're beginning the tour August 1st in Ocean City and making our way. There's so many places in the state, Marty, I've never been. Deep Creek Lake, Rocky Gap Park, Tidewater, you know, with the birds. And I've never been to Smith Island. I've never been out on a crab boat in the morning. So think a little Bourdain, a little Fietti. I'm going to be eating and talking to people and meeting with people and celebrities and politicians and chefs. And we're going to have a good time. How about that?
Sounds awesome.
Been trapped at home 15 months with a mask on, and Baffert's cheating, for crying out loud. Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Form joining here in his Preakness Week. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, buddy.
Love there you, he man. Goes. Marty McGee. Cincinnati will always have those chili dogs, you and me, that night, all right?
And who won the game? The Marlins beat the Reds that night 5-0. You forgot about that.
You bet on the game, you degenerate, didn't you?
And I did bet on the Marlins, by the way.
He only remembers when he cashes the bet. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking to old friends about great stuff like horse racing here at Baltimore Positive.